The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Will West, Eric Gaines, the Starting Lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. There's a piece at SI today, and I know people don't go to SI the way they used to, but there's a piece that they're trying, it seems like, to kind of get things back on board. There's a piece at Sports Illustrated that came out yesterday afternoon. It's there. It's a cover story today. It is one of their writers calling for college football players to unionize. It's not about what you think it's about necessarily. It really probably more so has to do with COVID-19 than anything else. They speak to the guy who's the head of the National College Football Players Association. It's a nonprofit. The guy's a former college football player named Ramogi. Let me just make sure I get his name right here. It is by Ramogi Huma. They speak to him. And he was a former linebacker at UCLA, and now he's the head of this nonprofit that tries to look out for the best interests of college athletes and college football players very specifically. And after speaking to him, the writer comes to the conclusion that he believes that it's time for college football to unionize. Here's why. Huma said one football player that he spoke to that's part of the group said a coach explicitly told him that the university leaders were using football players as test cases for COVID. Another coach said we could have a lot of trial and error with the athletes from when the regular students come. A third player said he was told by an administrator, we're going to get a lot of things wrong. We're not going to be perfect here, talking about the way that they're handling the COVID situation. So what this looks like is that I guess the picture that's being painted is that schools are, to some extent, and not all schools, but some schools are openly using college football players as guinea pigs, as lab rats, for what would happen there for COVID in the fall, and don't really seem to be that concerned about their well-being. And especially if you have a lot of uneducated players on there, or coaches on this, and coaches that think, well, they're in their teens and 20s, they're fine, nothing can happen to them. It's just the older people that are really going to have the problem with this. We've seen cases like LSU, over 30 players having to be quarantined. How many players was it at Clemson that we're at right now that we know of, at least anyway, Eric?
I'm wanting to say the number, the last we heard was 37.
Jeez.
But, I mean, again, they could be more than that by now.
Yeah, so in that set of, 100 players that you might have, including walk-ons and everybody?
Yeah, probably. About 100, all told, freshmen coming in and then returners, yeah.
Yeah, so and that's 37 is what you're looking at. And coaches literally telling players, again, not everywhere, but coaches telling players, we're using you as our test subjects to see what it's going to look like when the students get here in the fall. I understand that point of view. Let's be honest. Somebody's got to look out for the kids. Somebody's got to look out for the young people, the young men that are out there doing this. And right now it seems like at a lot of schools, they're not willing to do that. And it's that when you read quotes like this from administrators and from coaches, you look at that, you're like, are you kidding me that this is the case? So it's when I see this, and a lot of it too is watching the news story yesterday where it talked to the doctor that's in charge of the COVID units. There's two COVID units at the Methodist Hospital in Houston, and the guy that's in charge of it said that he had 3 beds left yesterday. He had 2 that were in their COVID unit. You got to be pretty bad off if you're in that COVID unit. Like the rooms are pressurized and things like that, and put into these like plexiglass cubicles and stuff. And you have to go in hazmat suits when you're treating them. Said I had 3 beds left, and I had 10 people in their 20s to choose from to try to decide. And I had to look at their cases and say, who do we have the best chance for us to be able to save by giving them these beds? Because the other set, you know what I mean. So I'm literally looking at it saying, who has the best chance of being saved? So who will this benefit the most? And it was the worst day of my professional career. And so when you see something like that, the same day that you read something like this, where college coaches are just telling the players, oh, no, you're lab rats for the way that this is going to go with students later on this fall. That's bothersome. And so you've got to ask the question, who's looking out for the players, I think? And I think it's a very fair question to ask, Eric.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you're looking at the way, you know, Major League Baseball, the NBA, hockey, the NFL now even. There's been some late chatter here in the last couple of days about how, you know, you're worried about putting yourself in danger. You're worried about how you're going to go about a season when you could very easily contract the coronavirus, excuse me, and how you'll be protected if that's going to be the case. And you're seeing the league, unions and player associations stick up, and especially for baseball. I mean, we saw this long negotiating period that took, months, about 2 months. And a lot of it, a lot of it was because of other things, but a lot of it was because of players and safety and protocols. And you have a union and representatives that look out for your best interests. And right now, college athletes just don't have that. And you certainly need it because, all we want is college football back. That's the dominant conversation right now. We need it for it to help the universities. We need it to help the economy. We need it for our jobs and everything. But at the end of the day, it's these student athletes are going out there and putting their lives in danger, essentially, with this COVID-19. And so it's something that we still are learning about more and more each and every day. And so, when that's the case, you certainly need a governing body to kind of stick up and have the players' backs.
Yeah, so it's you need something, right? And the problem is this. They talked to Brian Hardline. He was a former wide receiver at Ohio State. He's the head medical person for the NCAA. And he said, here's the tough part with this. We can make all of the suggestions that we want to, and that's what we're going to do is hand out best practices to schools. But because of the way that college football is, there is no real governing body. It's not the NCAA can just make sweeping legislation right now that says, you got to go do this. The NBA, they can do that. The MLB, they can do that. They come up with a plan, go right to the players, get a vote done that week. Bam. Okay, this is the way we're going to run it. We're also seeing that every NBA player is going to be in a bubble, right? Every Major League Baseball player is going to be, to some extent, quarantined. We're not seeing that with college football players right now. So it's kind of wild to see. Look at Eugene, Oregon. They're not announcing who's tested positive and who's not. It's a public health issue that has nothing to do with the university whatsoever. It's just a public health issue, period, for the people that live in Eugene, Oregon. So the problem's not that just like college football is evil or something like that. The problem is, for the people who want to be evil in college football, there's no oversight to them. One of the things that they brought up was a training issue with a guy named Elijah Wade, who was a defensive end at UCLA. And Elijah Wade kept going to the strength and conditioning program, and strength and conditioning coach kept going to his position coach and saying, something's not right with my body, something's not right with my body, something's not right with my body. And they said, you're fine, shut up, go do what we told you. They wouldn't adjust the training. He ends up blowing out his hamstring later on that week. And this is after repeatedly he told the coaches, hey, something's wrong, and they didn't do anything. And so the question is, when you deal with something like COVID, and again, this wouldn't be an issue at every school, but there are going to be schools that this is an issue with. And so when there's not oversight on the football program specifically, what do you do and who do you – if you can't trust the coaches and to do the right thing, then you have to have somebody who is looking out for the other people to make sure that the right thing's done, period. And so you got to ask the – I guess the writer brings up the question, is it time for, or makes the suggestion that it's time for college football players to unionize to look out for their best interests. Now, in the past, we've talked about this particular subject. It's always been an issue of compensation. It's always been an issue of how much money could they make, and look at how much money's on the table. For gosh sakes, college coaches are getting paid more than NFL coaches right now, and that's the dumbest thing in the world. So why aren't college players getting a piece of the pie? This isn't really even talking about. This is just talking about looking out for the health and well-being of the players at the schools where the coaches can't be trusted to do that. And so, to me, this is a different argument altogether than what we saw at Northwestern and things like that. I would also say this. It's having a union in college football would change everything for fans. Having a union in college football from a fan experience will make it worse. I don't know that doesn't mean it's the right decision, right? Just because it's not the thing I want doesn't mean it's not the right thing. And I don't even know that eventually they would work something out and they would play. The problem with this, and there was a lady named Lisa Horn that wrote for Fox Sports years ago that did an incredible job laying out the arguments for this and talking to labor lawyers when she talked about if college football players unionize or ever become employees. And everyone that she spoke to said, well, it would shut down college athletics. The reason why is because you'd have to start paying workman's comp on literally every insurance on every one of these college football players, and nobody's going to be able to afford to do that. So unionizing college athletics would change everything. I mean, absolutely everything from a fan perspective and things like that. Again, though, I don't know, Eric, that doesn't mean that it's not the right move right now. I would like to see them do some other things first, but the problem is Mark Emmert and the NCAA can't be trusted to do it. Conference commissioners can't be trusted to do it. Most of the coaches can't be trusted to do it, or at least half the coaches can't be trusted to do it. So What is another, like, again, I would like to see them come up with other options first, but what is another option that's out there that makes sure that the physical interest of players is protected while at the same time maintaining some semblance of an amateur model?
Well, a lot of times that's what compliance does. You know, a lot of times in terms of eligibility, in terms of breaking the rules, in terms of just making sure you're keeping the coaches in line when it comes to direct, you know, how they run their program. A lot of times that's where a compliance department comes in. And, you know, right here at Tennessee and at major Division I programs across the country, you have a pretty large compliance department, whereas at small schools, you just might have a one-man show. And so, you know, trying to keep the semblance of an amateur model, maybe adding some more tasks to that compliance department, maybe hiring another one that his role simply is just being an unofficial member of the coaching staff and just kind of sitting there monitoring and proctoring everything and then going back and reporting to the supervisors. I don't really know. We don't have the answers, but the first thing that kind of comes to mind would be just, you know, somewhere around the compliance grounds.
Yeah. The one thing that I would say with this, that where it wouldn't completely change everything, is there Davis Tarwater brought this up about what they do with what we call the Olympic model, is where you let them be pros now. You can be a pro now, but you're going to play college football. You're going to be able to some extent negotiate what your compensation is to some extent. And if you want to unionize, you can unionize. But we're not going to pay you. You're not getting a salary if you come here. And you got to stay eligible if you come here. And you get it. That part of your compensation is considered your education. But you could also go monetize your own name, image, and likeness however you want to. And if you do something that, and you would have behavioral clauses and things like that. But he was like, when people talk about the Olympic model for amateur athletics, when I was as an Olympian, I was a pro. And so if you're going to do the Olympic model, what the Olympic model has to look like was, and I guess David didn't even suggest this, he just, when I brought up the Olympic model, said, here's how you have to look at what the Olympic model really is. That you are a pro, and you're a grown adult, and you handle your own business and things like that, and we offer these things for you, the school would have to, but you would be able to go do whatever commercial you want to. You would be able to leave anytime you want to and go do something else. These would not be bonding contracts outside of maybe year in, year out. And so it would be, you would not probably be able to keep, I mean, honestly, it'd probably be an antitrust violation to say a guy can't transfer immediately and go play somewhere else if he wants to transfer immediately and go play somewhere else. Those are the things that would change there. And I think that that's probably the best model for this. The one thing that would change is if Tennessee, it has a running back who doesn't feel like he gets enough carries at week 8 and he wants to transfer by the time we get to the end of the season, that guy would be able to transfer at the end of the season and go play at Georgia or Alabama or anywhere else immediately, and there would be no punishment for that whatsoever. That would be the one thing that would change with that. So, but I don't know that that's not the best option that's on the table to make sure the best interest of the – frankly, I don't know that's the only viable option, if that it's not the only viable option that's on the table for players' best interest to be looked out for, while at the same time not completely crushing the sport of college football. We'll come back on the other side. Tennessee's Jay Graham, 6-month show cause. How big of a deal is that for the Vols? We'll talk to you about it next. This is Starting Lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
A pair of East Tennessee natives are atop the leaderboard following round one of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Oak Ridge native Scott Stallings tied for the lead at 7-under, while Jefferson County High School graduate Peter Malnati is one back of the lead at 6-under. 9 more NBA players tested positive for coronavirus, bringing the overall total to 25 players out of a pool of 351 who have been tested since June 23rd. The league also announced that 10 of the 884 staff members, also tested positive for the virus. The NBA is also discussing the idea of a second bubble in Chicago for the 8 teams not going to Florida for the restart. It would enable them to participate in mini training camp and exhibitions against other clubs. The target date is for September. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. 7:19, more TSL when we return. I'm Eric Kane.
The Starting Lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Will West, Eric Kane. It is July 3rd, about 7:23 this morning. Looks like we're sitting at about 69 degrees. 91 going to be the high later on this afternoon. We are excited about that. Maybe 89 in some areas, depending on where you're at. But it's going to be a warm one out there. My tomatoes should start to ripen up. Already about 6 cucumbers into the season there, Eric Kane. Feeling pretty good about the way the old garden's working out.
All right.
We got this. So it's small what we got it in. And so it's I've got tomatoes. I've got 5 tomato plants. I've got 2 cucumber plants that are just taking over the entire world like they're dang kudzu out there. And I got jalapenos. And I got 2 jalapenos I got to pick today. And I got some bell peppers coming in, red bell peppers. So
sounds good.
So that rain probably helped us out. Now the sun on top of that, should be able to pick some more tomatoes this weekend. I've literally picked 3 tomatoes, 3. But the rest should come in starting over the next couple of weeks. We've got a fantastic deal for you, a fantastic opportunity for you, the listener, right now on the starting lineup starting at 9 o'clock today at 991thesportsanimal.com. Eric Kane, tell the listener a little bit more about it.
Yeah, it's K-Town Tavern. Again, awesome deals. Again, 991thesportsanimal.com. Sweet deal dropping at 9 a.m. this morning. K-Town Tavern, locally owned, handcrafted food restaurant. It's really just a hidden gem right here in Knoxville. Tyler, before he ditched us this week, he was over at K-Town Tavern. He was talking to the manager, Chris, and Chris has a lot more information about this sweet deal that, again, 9 o'clock this morning, you can check out on 991thesportsanimal.com.
Chris, you guys have authentic food here. It's an opportunity to welcome people to it. Really, West Knoxville is a popular place, and always finding authentic food can be difficult at times, but not right here off Cedar Bluff. K-Town Tavern welcoming people with arms now that things are kind of getting back to a little bit of the norm.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be open back after the COVID closings. We've been taking care of everything that we need to do in terms of health and precautions, following all the CDC guidelines.
Right.
And it's just really exciting knowing that now that we moved into this new phase, we could potentially bring everybody back in the doors, and it's really exciting right now.
You know, me and my friends, we venture here often. As I mentioned, a lot of my friends and I live in similar neighborhoods here in West Knoxville, but even a lot of people, when I mention to them, hey, we're going to K-Town Tavern, they'll say, wait, I've always wanted to try that place, or hey, I haven't been there in a minute. But man, you guys have so much to offer. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sitting here right now with one of these fresh-baked, oven-baked pizzas. You guys have your own pizza oven. You can watch it be made as soon as you walk in the door. I don't know what it is, but if there's something that a lot of people love and we have in common, we love great pizza and we love delicious drinks. Not only do you guys have a knockout pizza, but your all's happy hour specials on top of, wait for it, 2 bars, including your own whiskey bar. There's just so much that goes for it, especially for a lot of the youngins who like the pizza and some of the older generation and older couples like myself and other friends who enjoy just to have a beverage.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Especially talking about the great pizzas and our wonderful beer selection. Monday nights, we actually have a great special where we do 250 pints and $8.99 any pizza for the entire night. So it is an opportunity to come in and get what I think we do best, which is our awesome pizzas. We hand pull the dough, and it's this great dough that uses old Italian flour. So it's really fantastic. But with having that second bar up there, you can kind of get 2 different experiences in one, because you can come in, maybe a date night, have a nice meal, and just as you're about to leave, you can go, oh, hey, there's that second bar. I can go have my second bar and not even have to leave the parking lot.
You guys have patio seating available. You guys have banquet rooms that are going to be reopening very soon. Not only that, but I can't reiterate enough, and you can kind of taste it in every bite. Your all's food, from the last bite all the way to piping hot fresh when you first get it out to your table, you can tell that you guys put the prep time in. And we're not just talking about the pizzas. You look at your menu, how eclectic is it? From your delicious appetizers, from your salads, and you know what? If people love pizza, there's a good chance they love wings as well. And you have that all here just sitting down right off of Cedar Bluff Road.
It's fantastic. We really take pride in the preparation. It's not bringing in stuff and just throwing it into the microwave.
Right.
It is taking that time to hand pull the mozzarella. It's taking that time to make the pizza dough every day freshly.
Right.
All of our desserts are made by hand by our owners and by our owners' children. It's kind of fantastic. It's a great family-run business, and I think it's fantastic for the city of Knoxville.
Which leads us to what a lot of people already know what we're getting to at 9 a.m. It's one of the most popular things we do on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com. For only $25, our sweet deal for this week is K-Town Tavern. That means you spend $25, you get 50. So if it is that upcoming first date, if it is the anniversary dinner, if it's before the high school reunions, or just wanting to get the kids out of the house for the first time, you can get the family fun atmosphere as well as the go out with the guys or go out with the ladies atmosphere. It's right here. It's off of North Peters and Cedar Bluff. You can find it here at K-Town Tavern. Again, Chris, we appreciate the time. Delicious food, a family fun atmosphere. You can go to a lot of places in town and get atmosphere first, then okay food. Or you can go somewhere where you can get great food first that comes with a great atmosphere. And that's what they have here at K-Town Tavern. Chris, appreciate your time today, man.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys.
Again, you spend 25, you get 50. And you heard Tyler right there catching up with Chris. He's the manager over at K-Town Tavern. Just one of our many, many sweet deals on our website each and every month at 991thesportsanimal.com. The one for K-Town Tavern begins this morning at 9 a.m. You spend 25, you get 50. 991thesportsanimal.com.
That's Harry Kane. I'm Will West. Five Burning Questions is next. Starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
64 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
July 3rd, July 4th coming up tomorrow. Burgers and dogs time. Time to celebrate the old independence of the United States of America. The greatest free agency move of all time. The United States of America leaving Great Britain and the British Empire to become its own independent nation. Harry Kane, when we play the word association game and I say greatest for biggest free agent move of all time, the first name that pops in your head is...
Yeah, the first name that pops in my head would be LeBron James. When he left Cleveland the first time, headed down to South Beach, the decision 1.0 now, you know, immediately went to the NBA Finals, came up short against the Mavericks, but ultimately won two championships down in there in that stint. Should have won more, but did win two, so it was success before he came back to Cleveland.
Hey, can I ask you this? Has LeBron's career overall been a disappointment?
I mean, I would have to say no.
Three and five in the finals right now?
I think it's 3-6.
It's 3-6.
Honest.
You're right. It is 3-6.
Don't quote me. I'll look that up. But I think it's 3-6.
I think you're right. I think it is 3-6.
I wouldn't say that it's been a disappointment at all. Now, I mean, the dude has positioned his team almost single-handedly a lot of the times, especially the last stint in Cleveland that last year, into the NBA finals. He's played so many games. You know, when you look at the stats and where he ranks all time and all this stuff, I mean, that's all those conversations. Now, would you have, do we expect more titles? I think so, but overall in his career, I wouldn't say it's been a disappointment.
Yeah, statistically, it's absolutely not been a disappointment, right? And he's cemented himself as an all-time player. I think it's lunacy when people say that he's the greatest player of all time. Like, it's psychotic. Like, it's not, I don't want to say psychotic. Clearly, just people don't know, you know what I mean, when they say that, and that's okay. Or they're caught in the heat of the moment. LeBron's an all-time great player, though, and it's okay to just be an all-time great player. Man, 3-6 in finals, though, was tough. And here's what's here's why you can't say, well, yeah, but look what he had around him, or look, LeBron's the one that put those teams together for the most part, right? Outside of that first finals loss, LeBron put the rest of those teams together. So five of those are on him, you know, so, as much as they're on anybody else that's out there.
Yeah.
So I do think that... there's no way in the world I call his career a disappointment because he is an all-time great. At the same time, like, it can be both, right? It can be 3-6 isn't good enough, but at the same time, he's still one of the five best players who's ever touched a basketball in world history. So you'd have to look at it and say he's been a smashing success. One thing about LeBron, too, is LeBron seems like a good dude, right? That's the one thing that we don't... That there are a lot of guys who have been... Like, at a time, I do think this has changed. At a time, Magic Johnson may not have been the best guy. Michael Jordan may not have been the best guy in the heat of the moment when it was happening. It's Larry Bird, 50-50, you know what I mean? But there's some guys that you just look at and you're just like, wow, it's impressive that, especially in this day and age, for an athlete to not have any more problems than he's had, LeBron James, it's been really, really impressive overall. But I will say his team success has been a disappointment in my mind. The team success LeBron's had, considering how good he is, the team success has been a disappointment. The inability to finish in the finals, and it comes down to me to one thing with LeBron. It's the unwillingness to be coached legitimately. And a lot of it is because he does know so much. He is so smart. It can be tough to let go. When you're great, I think sometimes it can be tough to let go and let somebody else. And it was the difference in Jordan having all those titles. Jordan was willing to be coached, I think. Magic Johnson had to learn to be coached.
I mean, he said he wasn't playing unless Phil Jackson was his coach.
Yeah. I mean, but he had to learn, right, to fit within a system. And LeBron never has. And so for him to have three titles when he's never really learned to be coached, it's pretty incredible overall when you think about it. But that's the one big thing that when I start splitting hairs about his career, you want to talk about 3-6 in finals. That's why he's 3-6 in finals, is because he's just never been willing to fit into a system. And, well, there is a system. It's his system that he wants to run, and they ran it in Cleveland twice, and they ran it in Miami. And they tried to run other things, and it didn't work out, and so then they just went back to this. You're never going to maximize LeBron James' ability when it's LeBron and ISO, corner shooter, another guy either on top of the key or over on the wing, depending on where LeBron wants to have the basketball. And then LeBron goes dribble drive penetration, either gets a bucket, gets fouled, kicks it out to a shooter somewhere. You can't go make the best players in the world that are surrounding you. You can't go make them all just spot up shooters, because not everybody's a spot up shooter. And so that's the one thing that I would look at to say, if you want to point to why LeBron's 3-6 in finals, that's why. But that also, the decision is the biggest one, because to me, it changed what people thought of LeBron. I think LeBron might have been the most beloved athlete because we knew what he was dealing with in Cleveland. He was in the conversation to be the most beloved athlete in America. Then the decision happened, and everybody hated that guy. And so it was wild to see what the change was with LeBron James when that happened, especially for a guy who never really had problems off the court or anything like that.
He's never had problems off the court. He never really makes noise off the court whatsoever.
Not negative noise. He makes a lot of positive noise.
Yeah. True. And, he started his own school. I mean, he's a businessman. He has his own franchise. I mean, now he's very active in social media in terms of, his political views, but he hasn't always been like that. But he does a lot of great things off the court. He's never been in trouble, as you pointed out many times. He's a great family man. And so by all accounts, I mean, LeBron James is a good dude, real good dude. But that decision rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and there are some people that have still not forgiven him, thought that it was showboaty, thought it was way too much, and especially if you're a Cavs fan, of course, you hated him for the next 4 years, and then you loved him again. Dan Gilbert said, Cleveland will win a championship before LeBron ever does, LOL. If I was LeBron James, I would have never went back there and played for that guy anyway, but he did, and they buried the hatchet, and they finally won a championship, so I guess it all worked out.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Five Burning Questions is now in the starting lineup.
Head to head, toe to toe, mano a mano. It's time for Five Burning Questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. Saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
All right, Will, did the NCAA overreach by handing a 6-month show cause to Jay Graham?
No, I don't think that they did. If you're going to hit Jimbo Fisher with it, then you got to hit the guy who was with Jimbo Fisher when the bump rule violation happened. So because of that, I will say that it's that's not the case. I think that they made the right decision. Probably.
Yeah, it'd be hard to punish Jimbo Fisher when the assistant was with him and not punish that assistant later. That assistant was known as Jay Graham when Texas A&M released that statement yesterday. So I don't think it's an overreach by the NCAA. As you pointed out in a prior segment this morning, that it's accumulation of things. This NCAA, basically saying, hey, here's your warning, Texas A&M. Here's your warning, Jimbo Fisher. You better clean up your program, or the next time we come knocking on the door, it's not going to be nearly, to this less of a magnitude. So, because all things considered, this is not the end of the world. Jimbo Fisher, Jay Graham, not going to be able to get on the road and recruit in 2020 in the fall, which is big, certainly bigger for Jimbo Fisher being a head football coach. But at the end of the day, it's really not that big of a deal for right now. Today is Tom Cruise's 58th birthday. What's the best movie of Cruise's career? Only one answer today.
Ooh, do you really? It's Edge of Tomorrow. Okay. That's the best movie of Tom Cruise's career. As far as good movie, put it up against anything. Watch it right now against anything Tom Cruise has ever done. Edge of Tomorrow is a fantastic movie. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
It's fantastic. It is a great movie. So I will say Edge of Tomorrow is the best Tom Cruise movie over those 80s classics that he was in.
Top Gun.
Top Gun sucks when you watch it now, dude.
It's Top Gun. The soundtrack of Top Gun, the storyline. I mean, the 4th of July is tomorrow. Come on, man. There's only one answer here today on July the 3rd. It's Top Gun. And there's also answer any day.
Born on the 4th of July is also a movie that he was in. So he was in a lot of good movies. Tom Cruise was. I'm telling you, watch Edge of Tomorrow. That is a fantastic movie.
Also, I asked Tyler this last week, but the sequel to Top Gun came out last week. You going to watch it?
Oh, the sequel to Top Gun came out last week?
Essentially, the storyline is Maverick is raising Maverick is teaching Goose's son how to fly. I'm pretty sure it came out last week.
Huh. I had no idea. Yeah, Top Gun Maverick, I guess.
I had no idea either until I looked up the entertainment tab on the days of the month.
No, it's released December 23rd.
Oh, it's released December 23rd?
Yeah. Maybe they announced the release.
Maybe they announced it, yeah. Anyway, is that anything that's going to get you excited?
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'll absolutely check it out. I loved Top Gun when I was a kid. Loved it. When I go back and watch it now, compared to some of the other movies, the Mission Impossible movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman, is that number two? That was a really darn good movie, too.
Yeah, it's fine. I went on a cruise one time when I was a couple years ago, and that just played on repeat all week long, so I got really tired of it. But
I could see that. Also, shout out to Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, those are good.
Les Grossman.
It's also National Eat Your Beans Day. What four beans are on your Mount Rushmore of beans?
Well, Eric Kent, I'm glad that you asked, because this is literally the question that I was born for.
Yeah, take your time, because I won't have a lot.
I got pinto beans is going to be your number one. That's your George Washington. It's right there on the left. You've got a pinto, so beans and cornbread and chili have pinto beans in them. Refried beans, you're getting pinto beans. So pinto beans is your number one there. I'm going to go a little off the board and say the lima bean is number two. Underrated the lima bean. Big fan of the lima bean. I'm going to put the green bean on at number three, and then I'm going to go a little off the board on this one, the great northern bean, or we call them white beans here in the South. Those are the four best beans that you can possibly have, and I am a bean aficionado, sir.
I am a Jefferson County native. I enjoy gravy and cornbread. Not beans, though. I'm not a bean guy. I eat my beans.
You don't eat beans and cornbread?
I just, cornbread and something else. Not
all right,
beans.
So my mom's from Hamlin County, and they ain't that far down the road. Legally, you don't get to have a mailbox in Hamlin County if you don't eat beans and cornbread. Is it not the same in Jeff County?
And that's a fact. I guess not. I've just never been a bean guy. I like my green beans, so I'll put green beans up there. I eat chili, so I guess I have to put pinto beans in there. But really, there's two vacant slots on my Mount Rushmore.
Those are the only beans that you eat.
Yeah, I'm just never been a bean guy. Now, you remember, I'm Josh Ward. I'm very, very picky growing up. It was even worse a couple years ago. So,
okay, you go to a Mexican restaurant, do you eat the black beans that are there?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
So when you go get your burrito, there's no beans in that burrito. And whether it's salsaritas or Moe's or
there probably is. There probably is now. I don't ask for it. I don't ask for it, but if it's in there, I probably eat it. I'm just not a bean guy. So,
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so should the Redskins rename the team?
Yes, they should. And here's why. Money. That's why. All the monies. They will make so much money, because here's what you get. One, you get the benefit of having all the people that are mad that want to buy up all the Redskins merchandise. Bam, free money for you. Then when you create the new team, you've got all the people who want to buy the new team's merchandise. Bam, free money for you. And because of everything going on socially right now in the world, then you have advertisers just wanting to jump on board, players, free agents. There is no downside to making this change unless you just woke up today hating money, or you're just married to the Redskins name and you don't care how much money's available. But there could be $1 billion in it for you if you decide to change the name. I'll take that $1 billion if I'm Dan Snyder.
Yeah, the answer is yes, simply because what you just put the revenue. Right now, Nike has taken all Redskins merchandise off its website. As of last night.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that is huge.
So here's the thing. It's going to happen. Whether if you're a Redskins fan and you don't want it to happen, it don't matter. It's going
to. FedEx, who holds naming rights to the stadium since 1998, they have said that they want the Redskins to change their name. That deal is coming into an end in 2 years. Likely won't re-up until that's done. So revenue, the name of the game is money. It always has been, and that would be a reason why it should be changed.
So this came up about 6 years ago when Josh and I were talking about it. And the Washington Post finally went and they tried to get people, like a sample size of people from every major tribe around the United States. only about 25-26% of Native Americans at the time said they wanted to see the Redskins' name change, and they were offended by it. So because of that, I looked at it and said, well, don't change it then. That's fine.
And Dan Snyder gives money, donates to those the tribes across the country.
Yeah, so and from what we found out from that, the poll did, and the Washington Post did a good job, and it was a very fair article. There are some tribes that is like the N-word to them. There are some tribes that it's the word they use. And so it just depends on which tribe you're talking about as far as how offensive that term is. Again, though, at the end of the day, money talks, everything else walks. They're going to make this move because they didn't wake up today hating money.
Rob Manfred says the Major League Baseball will be lucky to finish the 60-game season on a scale of 1 to 10. How concerned are you that baseball will deal with a shutdown?
How many times have I told you this week, Eric Kane? I am Charlie Brown. Sports is the football. COVID-19 is Lucy.
So reverse psychology, say one, there's going to be a shutdown.
No. One. I'm at a one. I think we finished the baseball season. At some point in time, we stop listening to the stupid people and start listening to the smart people, and we're able to actually flatten this curve, right? If the whole rest of the world can do it, why can't we?
Well, until that happens, I'm going to put this at about a 7 because it is very concerning. I agree with you. If that were to happen, that'd be great, but it hasn't happened yet. Therefore, I think with everything the way that society and sports and everything's trending, I think that there will be a shutdown. So I'll put it at about a 7. Hope I'm wrong. Love to be wrong.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Maybe it's time for us to stop listening to our buddies from high school who got low C's in science class and listen to epidemiologists.
Maybe.
That's not the American way, though. It used to be the American way. It is not the current modern American way.
I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to yell profusely. And when I know that I'm wrong, when someone corrects me, I'm going to yell even louder. That is the American way. Happy Fourth, everybody.
That is the new American way ever since Facebook became a thing. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. That's 5 Burning Questions brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. LSITN.com for Life Safety Inspections. Find out why Life Safety Inspections is one of the fastest growing fire suppression groups in all the United States. They can actually take those foreign-made fire extinguishers that you have that have an incredibly low or high failure rate and get you into an American-made model that is less expensive, that has a really low failure rate. LSITN.com for life safety inspections. We'll spin the wheel of content coming up on the other side. It's Will West, Eric Kane, starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee running backs coach Jay Graham has been hit with a 6-month show cause by the NCAA for penalties committed while a member of Jimbo Fisher's staff at Texas A&M. Graham, who has already served minor punishment while still with the Aggies, will be banned from all off-campus recruiting activities for the fall 2020 contact period. Fisher at Texas A&M was also hit with the 6-month show cause as he and Graham had impermissible contact with a recruit in the past. Fisher was forced to serve a 9-day ban on phone calls, emails, texts with prospects in January. Texas A&M was fined $5,000 as a result and placed on probation after found guilty of exceeding activity time limits for multiple weeks in the spring and summers of 2018. The Boise State baseball, swimming, and diving teams were cut yesterday due to financial effects of coronavirus. FedEx, who holds naming rights to the stadium in which the Washington Redskins play, requested the team change its nickname. And elsewhere around the league, in an effort to combat COVID-19, NFL teams are likely to bring fewer than the regular 90 players to start of mandatory training camp. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. We'll have the Wheel of Content coming up next on TSL. Good morning. Good Friday morning. I'm Eric Kane.
For the premier vapor shop in East Tennessee, went by Knoxville Vapor just about a week ago. Picked up some new e-liquids there. I'm using the Navi device. I love this thing. This is what they call a pod mod. It's kind of the best of both worlds. It is a small...
He grew up with posters of Kelly Harper on his bedroom wall. Tyler Ivins and the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Then there's one thing we need more of in the... on the bumper playlist, a little bit of funk music. A little bit of George Clinton. Sugar Hill Gang. You know anything about Atomic Dog? Do you know what Atomic Dog is, Kaner?
Yeah,
20s Club? No? You know what Apache is by Sugar Hill Gang?
No, I don't know anything, man.
Oh, man, Apache by Sugar Hill Gang. There was one time, yeah, we did the 20, 30, 40 plus club on the starting lineup.
It's a way for you guys just to make fun of me is what
it's,
it is.
It's also you guys get to call me old. There's also that. Apache from Sugar Hill Gang, the first time that we went to Disney, we took Avery there. She was 4 or 5. I think it was the summer after she turned 5, now that I think about it. And so it was before she started kindergarten. We went to Disney. It was the first year she like knew what was going on enough to, for us to feel like it was worth the money. So we go to Disney, and at night they shut down like some of the eateries that are over near like Space Mountain and stuff like that, and they just shut down some of them. And there are a few of the restaurants that are open, but for the most part, the places you just go grab a chicken sandwich. They close those things, and they just go have like Disney characters dance with kids, and they just have a dance party for little kids. And so we walk by, after we get out of Space Mountain, we're walking over to where the Cinderella's castle is, where all the big fireworks go over top of that. So we're walking from Space Mountain over that way, and we pass this little place over to the right that has, like, Chip and Dale, the two chipmunks from the Disney cartoons, that are just dancing with the kids. And there's these two, I mean, probably 3 foot tall, 2 feet wide, redheaded, chubby twins that are just getting it to Apache by Sugar Hill Gang. And ever since then, I have loved that song. I can't. If you get a chance, Apache by Sugar Hill Gang. Can we get that as a bumper during the next hour, if you don't mind, sir? A little bit of an intro to it, but it seems like we've got the free time.
So give me the deets again.
Apache by Sugar Hill Gang.
Okay.
I promise you've heard this song used in, if you've ever seen cheerleaders do anything at a pep rally, you've heard this song. So you just aren't aware
okay.
that you've heard Apache by Sugar Hill Gang. 656-9900 is your phone number. Will West, Eric Kane. It's time for us to spin, as we do every day at this time, the Wheel of Content. Eric Kane has fashioned our wheel that we use for the game, put different topics on it, and every day it spits out a different topic for us to debate. What is the Wheel of Content topic today, Eric?
All right, so if the Redskins do change their name, what should they change it to?
The Warriors. That's the, if you remember, the
it's trademarked.
The Warriors is trademarked, so they can't do Washington Warriors.
No, I'm saying Dan Snyder trademarked Washington Warriors because he wanted to create an arena league team back in 2009 before the league folded, so that would be an easy transition.
Yeah, it would be a very easy transition. I think blue and yellow were the colors that they were going to use at a time when people were doing mock-ups of what the thing would look like. To me, that's the easy one to go with, is the Washington Warriors. You go with blue and yellow. You sell a ton of merchandise. Although there's so many NFL teams that already have blue and yellow, that may be tough. Maybe you go with another color, but you go with the Washington Warriors. I think there was like a spear logo they came up with at one point in time. To me, that's the easiest transition. Do something that honors Native American people instead of some that, you know, one that some Native American tribes consider to be a racial slur. And also, you make all the monies. So, again, you sell all your current Redskins merchandise to all the people who are mad that the Redskins name is going to be gone. And they're like, I'm always going to call the Redskins. I'm going to buy me 2 starter jackets and a, you know what I mean? the Nike Freeze that are done by those. You can still get starter jackets, by the way. but every time I get, like, the only place I can ever find the Giants was a place called Modell's up in Times Square. And they'd never have the 2Xs, which is what your boy needs. But but you sell all that Redskins merchandise to the people who are mad about the name change. You sell all the Warriors merchandise to everybody who's excited about the name change. And then you just make all the monies in the entire world.
So I did a quick Google search of Washington Warriors, and this has been talked about before. According to an article I'm reading on NBC Sports, you would keep the current color scheme, use an old logo, and it would probably be the easiest transition ever from the Redskins to the Warriors. A couple other ones that I have that I thought of last night. How about just dropping red off Redskins? Washington Skins. Pigskins. Washington Skins. I think that'd be an easy...
I think that there may be like a skinhead connotation with that might not go over so awesome right now.
I agree with that as well. But again, you know, football, it's wildly known as a pigskin and a skin. So I don't know. That's just a thought. But
what if you bring back the Washington Bullets? And you made the NBA team the Washington Bullets.
Or you bring back the Washington Senators, which used to be the name of the baseball team there.
That's solid. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, that could be an easy one. Or
Although doesn't the Senate and the House right now have about a 13% approval rate? So maybe you could do something to help them out by becoming the Washington Senators.
Interestingly enough, before I went to bed last night, I was scrolling through Twitter. I saw a report. One name suggestion would be Washington Red Tails. Have you seen this one?
No.
Okay, so a Reddit user proposed this a few weeks ago. A Red Tail was a unit of black fighter pilots in World War II, back when the military was still segregated. Red Tails even works with the fight song, just changed Braves to men. And, of course, they're known as the Red Tails because they had an iconic, like, red, I guess the smoke coming out of the jet was, you know, red or whatever. So, Red Tails is one that's popular on the social mediums right now.
Did you ever see the did the USFL, you know what the USFL is? Uh-huh. Did you see that HBO documentary on it?
I have not, but I know of it, yeah.
My granny one time, right when the USFL folded, got me a bunch of extra large. This is like when I was a little kid. I don't know why she gave it to me then, but I wore these shirts forever. Like, so she got me a, back in the day, you didn't have practice jerseys, so you had to wear one of your dad's t-shirts over your shoulder pads when I was a little kid.
Oh my gosh, that is so retro.
Yeah, that's old school.
That is so awesome.
I would wear one of those shirts over my shoulder pads when I was a kid, from the time I'm 7 to I was about 14. And then I think once I got into 8th grade, they started having practice jerseys for you to use. But there was the USFL team, the Washington Federals. And the logo didn't make a lot of sense, but it was a white, green, and black and silver color scheme that looked pretty rad. And I think if you brought that back now, the Washington Federals would absolutely work. Although there's like this weird, like, half eagle, half dragon head that happens on the side of the helmet that's a little off-putting. But I think the Washington Federals, you could bring that name back as well and make some of that coin off of it.
Was
the Warriors is the one where you'll make the most money.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the financial implications are why they're doing this.
Yeah, yeah. It was, sorry to change subject, but the big-name quarterback that played in the USFL, was that Jim Kelly?
Jim Kelly was. Steve Young was a quarterback in the NFL. Doug Flutie played for the New Jersey Generals. The New Jersey Generals had Doug Flutie and Herschel Walker on it at a time when those two guys were...
Okay, where can I find this documentary?
Yeah, so they're Doug Flutie and Herschel Walker were his biggest stars in football, period, because of what they did in high school, or in college, excuse me. Doug Flutie had this... do you know about the Doug Flutie Hail Mary?
Yeah, oh yeah, perfect.
Okay, so the Doug Flutie Hail Mary against Miami made him a superstar in the entire nation.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Herschel was Herschel, and he was one name by the time he finished his freshman year of college. And so it was like Cher or Madonna. That's how big of a deal Herschel was.
Yeah.
And they were playing for New Jersey. You know who was the backup quarterback for the New Jersey Generals there for a stretch?
Who?
Bobby Scott.
Hey!
That's right, yeah, the back end. Yeah, the back end of his career.
The sports animal's all-time QB.
That's right. So the only number 10 in Tennessee history that I recognize, quite frankly, is Bobby Scott.
I can't believe you just asked me, do I know about Doug Flutie's Hail Mary?
I didn't know if you knew.
There's a lot I don't know, and I own that. But, man, that is an iconic
It was like 1984, dude.
I mean, I see it everywhere.
I wasn't even in third grade yet, so you were not even a twinkle in your father's eye at that point, man. So
true.
I didn't know if you knew about that. There were some really good players that played in the USFL at the time just because they were often more legitimate contracts than the NFL was, and it really kind of changed what the NFL had to do as far as giving money to these franchises, as far as giving money to players and having more of a revenue sharing idea with the players union. But Warriors is the one we would both settle on, right?
100%. That'd be the easiest. It makes the most sense. Snyder already has a trademark, same color scheme, old logo. I think it makes too much sense on too many different levels.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side on this day, 244 years ago. Tomorrow will be the 244th anniversary of the greatest free agency move of all time when the United States declared themselves a free agent from Great Britain. What's the greatest free agency move in sports history? We'll talk about it next. This is Starting Lineup on the Sports Animal.